Welcome to Merely Catholic with me, Gavin Ashenden. Life is changing fast in Europe. Not long ago, it would have been inconceivable that a couple of Dutch families would request political asylum in Poland as they fled the Dutch social services. But recently, a couple called Konrad and Katja den Hertog, along with their 7-year-old son Martin, went into hiding in Poland until they were able to obtain legal protection from what they claimed, and the Polish government agreeing with them, adjudicated, were draconian legal measures intended unjustly to take their child into state care in Holland. And last month, in September 2023, a Dutch doctor, Leonard Herman, and his wife, who claimed to have been unfairly accused of childhood neglect in Holland, found asylum in Poland after Dutch and Belgian authorities threatened to take their 4 children away and released a European-wide arrest warrant. They had been denounced by a relative who was aggrieved at being left out of a will and accused of child neglect, and once again a care order that the family asserted was imposed without any proper investigation and then kept secret from them, forced them to flee the state, which otherwise was going to forcibly remove their children from them. Once again, the Polish government agreed with the parents that the grounds were unfounded and offered protection to the family, giving them political asylum. Well, the struggle between the family and the state has been a feature of the relentless march of secularism, and perhaps no other agency other than the Catholic Church has stood up for the integrity of the family and the right of parents to bring up their children free from secular propaganda, and in particular free from the creeping program of sexualization in the name of personal development that has been taking place. In December 2019, Barbara Socha was appointed government plenipotentiary for demographic policy and Undersecretary of State at the Ministry of Family and Social Policy in Poland. She's responsible for preparing and implementing draft demographic strategy, as well as popularising family-orientated culture. She gained her professional experience as a director for communication for IBM in Poland, and, of course, is a wife and a mother. I invited her to reflect on why and how the Polish government, under the broad influence of Catholic culture, was willing to take a different course and protect and promote the family, in contrast to so many other government and secular political cultures in Europe. And she joins me now. Barbara, thank you very much for joining us on the podcast today. Now, not all of our listeners are going to follow Polish politics as carefully as they might. Could you introduce yourself and explain, first of all, what your role is in the Polish political scene? And then perhaps we can begin to talk about the influence of Catholicism on Polish government policy and Polish culture just at this present time.
Okay, so my name is Barbara Socha, and for 4 years now, I've been the Deputy Minister for Family and Social Policy. In previous times, I've been working also with some pro-family NGOs, and I have a long experience in working in IT corporations in Poland before I entered the world of politics and social policy. Generally, I am responsible for pro-family policies in Polish government.
Barbara, one of the things that the Catholic Herald has done is to publish an account of a Dutch couple who found themselves in difficulty with the social services in a context that was entirely unjustified, and they had no recourse to a fair hearing. They hid in Belgium, and finally they went to Poland, where they asked for political asylum. I think for many of our readers, it was almost unbelievable that in the present context of Europe, one European family should seek political and religious asylum in another European country, in this case, Poland. Well, they were granted the asylum on the grounds that the Polish government took the view that the Dutch and Belgian social services had behaved enormously unjustly. Can you talk about the difference in terms of the way you see it between the way in which Polish Catholic values are expressed politically in comparison to the rest of Europe, either with reference to this case or with reference to any other elements that you think we ought to know about?
Yes, thank you for this question. First of all, I would like to talk about two separate things. First thing is the Polish society. We are still majority Catholics, so we have most of our families are Catholic families. And that's one thing. We still have, I would say, the Catholic values, the Christian values are very important in Polish society, although, of course, we see some influence of the not very much Catholic trends also in Poland, especially among the young people. And that's, of course, something that we need to deal with. But on the other hand, we have the government, we have the policies, the public policies, and we as a government, we don't treat these family policies as Catholic ones. That's just the way we understand democracy and the freedom, because we have the long tradition of freedom in Poland, not only mentioning the solidarity movements, but still, I cannot imagine anything that would government do against the freedom of the citizens, especially against the freedom of religion. Of course, when we talk about our policies are aimed at creating such conditions for young couples, for families in general in Poland, so that Poland is the best place to live for people who want to have children, who want to bring up children, and who want to live in a way they want to, right? So we rather see it not as a government that promotes Catholic values, but just a government who wants to create the best conditions to live for families, of course, giving them freedom of religion, one of the most important things. I would only mention one thing in our constitution. Our constitution says that parents have the right to bring up their children according to their own values. So this is a very strong empowerment of parents in our law in Polish. So I, as a parent, I have also children. I have five children and at different age now. So I see also in public schools in Poland very much how the trends develop. And I very much rely on my rights as a parent to, for example, save my children from any dangerous ideology I can see. And I'm using these rights because also in Poland we have many trends that would like to teach our children, let's say, the content that I as a parent don't accept. So I need to be involved. I need to be interested in what's going on in our schools because giving you the example, my daughter is in a high school in Warsaw. And we were offered as parents special lectures for the kids on preventing some kind of diseases like HIV. And this was a kind of alert for me because when talking about the diseases like HIV, many content that are, I would say, for me as a Catholic person would not be acceptable. I can expect that they try to teach these contents in these things in school. So I need to involve and ask school what kind of contents they would provide the children with, and I need to give the permission. So I am asked as a mother, as a father, as a parent, to give the permission to school that they can teach my kids these kind of things. So of course I refused. My daughter didn't go to school on that day. And that's how it looks in Poland. Now, of course, it changes. I mean, there are many non-government organizations who are provided with budgeting from abroad. And that's how we see this kind of, let's say, ideology revolution is trying to make progress in Poland. But still, we are very strong as parents. We are very strong, empowered by our constitution with the right to bring up our children according to our personal values that we have, and freedom of religion, freedom of bringing up children the way we want to, is a very strong law in Poland.
I'm sure a lot of people will be very refreshed by what you said, because you'll obviously be aware that certainly in the UK and elsewhere in Europe, and above all in America, the assault on children and the rights of parents has become very intense. And I'm sure you're aware too, as many of our listeners are, that within Catholic spirituality, there has been for the last 100 years a sense that the struggle for the integrity of our faith is going to be concentrated on the family and on the rights of parents and children to pursue the values according to their faith. I think it would have been very hard 10 years ago to imagine the extent to which the state has involved itself in undermining the rights of parents. And we're also aware, of course, that the pressure to do that comes from two sources. It comes obviously from the media, but you're saying that there are specific NGOs which are funded from abroad with the specific intention of promoting this secularized, and I guess we have to say sexualized, agenda. Can you expand on what you know about that?
Well, it's hard to say in terms of numbers if you are asking me now, but we see that very much happening. We see also that the young people in Poland are the target, are the good target for those organizations. Let me just give you the example of the Campus Poland that was advertised as a not political meeting, but provided by our opposition, funded from German non-government organizations. So for me as a citizen, of course, for me also as a deputy minister, but as a citizen and as a parent, it's very visible and it's just obvious that the aim of this organization is to make progress and to try to influence our young people in this direction that we don't want to see. So it is happening. However, I need to say that the awareness of Polish parents, I think, is quite high. Of course, there are different people as everywhere, but in general, we are very aware that it's our right as a parent, and it's our obligation also, not only the right, but also the obligation to bring up our children in the values that we see as important. So that's something that is, I think, still strong in our society. Although we, of course, see many, many consequences and results of this influence on the youngest generation.
You were very careful to say that the reason the government, the Polish government, pursues the values that it does is because it's fulfilling a democratic rather than an ideological mandate, because most of the population are Catholic. You have a democratic right to do it. And so in one sense, you're lucky, you're fortunate that you have the numbers of Catholics. But there are other contexts when we have to persuade people the value of our own ethical system. In the UK, I don't think it would be rude or untrue to say that the Catholic hierarchy have been really quite quiet when it comes to promoting Catholic values. In fact, a good many teachers and parents within the schools are desperate for more backing from the bishops and from some priests. If you had any advice to give Catholic bishops and clergy, I know not everyone likes either receiving advice, and it's not always a good idea to give advice, but just hypothetically speaking, if you were to say to other Catholic leaders in the rest of Europe where it's more secularized, give them good reasons for speaking up on behalf of the faith. How do you see the issues as expressing themselves, and why is it important that the Catholic Church goes to some effort in order to promote the values that it seeks to protect its families with?
Well, I think that I am not in a position to give advice to the bishops, especially in the United Kingdom, but I think that we need to think about who is responsible for what and what can we do. Because if we only look for or try to see that somebody is doing this for ourselves, it may not happen. And I think that we are a little bit too quiet or too, I don't want to use the word of laziness, but people in many situations, people expect that somebody will do it for themselves and don't want to start. And it was the same story with me being active in politics. This is the last thing I would say I wanted to do, I think like 10 years ago. But when it came to the situation that exactly these sex educators were proposed to in Warsaw, we had the mayor of Warsaw signed it was called the declaration, LGBT declaration. And I am the kind of person who wants to see all the details. So I went through the document of this WHO recommendations for sex education. And I remember I didn't want to just rely on the news headlines talking about this document. So I found this document. I read it through from the very beginning to the very end, and I had my own opinion. And I said to my colleagues, to my friends, to other parents, that we need to stop this, because if we don't do it, so who will do it for us? And that's how it started in my personal case. Yes, so that's the kind of responsibility we have also for our children, but because we are the people who need to protect them. If not us, who will do it for us? Yes, it's, I would say, it's the matter of a very, very beginning of the democracy. If we assume that we are the people who make influence, who make the choice, then we need to take this responsibility, because otherwise it will just happen, you know, that somebody will do it for us in the direction that we don't want. That's our personal responsibility, being the part of the society that we want to create.
You quite rightly suggest it's not just to advise the bishops. And I think probably also what you're saying is this is advice to parents. If you want to protect your children, you just may have to do it yourself. And I know from my own engagement in Catholic education at a very minor level in this country, how desperate parents are to defend their children. As you look over Europe with the practice eye of a politician, it seems to me that we're in a very serious clash of civilizations. I know that that phrase itself is loaded for some people, particularly in the context of between Christianity and Islam. But there are three major ideological components in this clash of civilization. Islam is one, but the other one is this sexualized secularism. As you see the forces of sexualized secularism in the rest of Europe, do you think there is much hope for Catholic civilization? At the moment, Poland and Hungary have some reputation for resisting the values that are being thrust upon us, accidentally or deliberately, it's hard to know. How do you see the struggle going? You're standing for re-election in Poland. I understand that the demographics in Poland are changing. As you have already indicated, the youth are far more influenced by secularism than the older generations. Mm-hmm. What's your take of the, if you like, this battle in Europe for ideas and for culture?
Yes, in fact, we are in the middle of our election campaign in Poland. So there is a lot of different views and opinions in the air. In general, our campaign is about security and the future security of the future generations. So we are talking about the shape of the European Union. You are not in the European Union anymore, so it may not be the case for you now, but we are discussing the future of the EU and whether we are able to make influence on that, being still the small country with the rather small economy comparing to the biggest one, to the biggest players in Europe. That's obvious, but we are speeding up our growth and development, so it for sure will help us to make more influence on that. However, the battle is very tough, and we see it now this week in the European Parliament, who talks now about the migration pact to speed up the relocation of immigrants, which we want to block, of course, because we don't want these mistakes that were taken by Germany and France to happen in Poland. And that's our biggest aim. So that's where we struggle. But talking about the Catholics in Poland, I think that we are still in a good shape, and we hope that it will not be worse in coming years. Still, the values connected to family, to Catholics, are very strong in Poland, although with the younger people it's not that easy. But I see it on the example of my own family and the families I know around, that the children grow up, and after this let's say difficult phase being teenager or around 20s, then it's still, well, the environment in which they were growing up is influential. So we hope that still this tradition, this Polish traditions of freedom, solidarity, and family values will be still strong. And when we see, because I'm dealing with the family policies and with demographics, and when we see the different data and research that we have, still the family life, the happiness for Polish people means happy family life. And it's also among the younger people. So I think I'm rather optimistic when we talk about it. However, the coming elections will show, in fact, whose vision of Poland is stronger. So we hope for winning the elections for the third time. But of course, it's not a guarantee. So we will see soon how it ends. But still, I'm the optimistic.
I spent some time in previous years as an academic working in the area of the psychology of religion. And it was only really after the 1990s that people did some serious surveys and studies about happiness. And one of the very surprising counterfactual discoveries was that people who had a belief in God turned out to be happier and healthier than people who had no belief. In one sense, this is only common sense, but it was very helpful to have it substantiated by fairly serious, I would say scientific, but sociological explanations. Now, you've mentioned something very similar, and I wonder if you just expand on it a moment, because I think it's quite important. What you're saying is that within Poland, you've done a number of social surveys. And if I understood you rightly, what you've said is the social surveys have come back to you and told you that there's a greater sum of human happiness amongst Catholic families or families pursuing Catholic and Christian values than there is outside. And again, in one sense, that would be quite obvious, perhaps. But our secular opponents go to great lengths to explain that it is freedom that makes you happier, and that even though the freedom to reject families, which usually involves some form of ungluing of social relationships, that they think that freedom is more valuable. Can you say a little bit more about what your social studies have discovered about this relationship between happiness and the family, Catholic or otherwise?
Yes, in talking about this research and happiness and relations, I like very much to remind about the research that was made on Harvard University, those very long research that were conducted for more than 70 years now. And the main result of this research is that the main source of happiness for people are good relationships with other people. So in this case, we can see that family is one of the way or the best and the simplest way to have the good and very deep relationship with other people. So this is one point, and it very much resonates in Polish society, because when we see the Polish research, it says, as I mentioned, that the family life, the happy family life, is the biggest value for Polish people. And it's not depending on age, on sex of these persons, on the place of living, whether they are from the big cities or the small villages, or whether they are younger or older people. All of us imagine the ideal family as, first of all, we dream about the family. And second, the ideal family is the family with two children living outside of the big city, in a small house with a garden and so on. And it's very, very common in Poland. So I am happy that I am now the candidate to Polish parliament from the places around Warsaw and around our capital. So these are exactly the places that can be the best places for living for our families.
Well, what are your chances? How is the balance of power working out in as you face the elections? Are you optimistic?
Well, in my area, I would say it's very, it's 50-50. It's very hard to predict. So I will not predict. I will just try to use these last days to work as hard as possible to make this success. And we will see.
I wish you all the very best for it. Let us say that you win and you gain some element of power. Are you optimistic that within the present Europe, Poland might be able to sustain an island of civility, an area of Catholic culture, which is, if not immune, at least has its own cultural autonomy? The fight is for cultural autonomy, isn't it? For groups, national groups or otherwise, to be able to say, this is the kind of culture we want to live in, and we ought to have a right to pursue that. At the moment, you do have that right. Are you optimistic that you can achieve a level of Catholic culture in Poland in the present circumstances?
Yes, I think I'm optimist here, but of course we would like to spread it more on Europe, and I think that some other countries will follow. Maybe not in terms of helping Catholics as Catholics, but in more than in helping those countries be still stay democratic and giving the freedom of religion to its citizens, because this is something that we believe in, and this is something that it's still, at least in the treaties of European Union, which are, let's say, you know, documents, not in practice in many cases, but still I think we need to remember about it and try to also make it stronger in practice now.
It would be easy, particularly in a conversation like this, for us to say this is about the domestic integrity of the Catholic faith. But
yes,
as you quite rightly point out, it's about freedom of speech and freedom of religion. And as it happens, I think that the Catholic faith is one of the best guarantors of that kind of freedom. But,
yes,
but for those
yes,
who don't
I
share
agree.
It, the aim of defending freedom of speech and freedom of religion is nonetheless still very attractive and paramount. Barbara, let me wish you the very best of luck and assure you of our prayers, and thank you for
this
time.
Thank you very much.
And we look forward to coming back for further conversation. Thank you.